Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Walter Dean, and you're listening to this show called Getting It Done. This show is a continuation from Monday because we did not have from Friday because we did not have an opportunity to complete Oscar Peterson. So we will do that today. And I'm also dedicating this show to a very dear friend, Sam Phillips, who passed away this past week. Very close. Musician. And I will tell you more about him, but let's first conclude the statements and concepts and ideas and friendships and the total of experience of the great Oscar Peterson.
During this time, there were various people who come with the trios and which they like to sing and so on. One of the people that made a comment with me in Duke County, and one night I came out after what I thought was in hell, said the thing to him. And he said to me, magnificent, just magnificent as usual. But it was good, you know. And he said to me, he said, have you ever given thought to the fact that maybe it's a change people might enjoy? The caviar without the eggs and onions, meaning like the drums and the bass. And I said, I thought of it. He said, no. He said, you don't know what you think about it. You should. I'm sure they won't hear the bass solo piano. Years with the trio, as I heard in May, they'd become almost a part of me. So I had to overcome it. And when I did, it opened up a whole dimension for me. I could play with whoever I liked and whenever I liked.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cleo Lane rejoins her husband, John, to do Perdido.
I'm trying to know you. people stop doing enough to come to the room. They say, get up from the piano. I remember Billy Carter at Ella Fitzgerald's tribute. He says, get up from the piano. Oscar's in the house. Leave the piano. And it's true. I mean, they must be sitting around on the piano and Oscar gets to come to them. Brian took the rest to do. This man is brilliant.
I come down in the morning and I sit at the piano and I play my Bach and I play my Oscar. I mean, I learn certain ways of playing. Then the other approaches to the piano, I'm not really I love what he does.
He's up there so far that you can't say what he really, because he does all of the things. You can catch him in every dance of classical music, and you'll be feeling all dashing and that beautiful. The touch that he has, and it makes you want to sing, it makes you want to do what you do.
The best jazz instrument of solo is?
Thank you, thank you,
all right.
Oscar Peterson.
The man truly has brought recognition to himself and his country. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, Oscar Peterson. Ladies and gentlemen, great, incomparable Oscar Peterson.
To recognize that. You can be a human being and recognize that. but you pay them tribute for what they are. That's all they really want. I've had my fair share of awards. 7 Grammys, the Order of Canada, the Order of Quebec and Ontario, and even in jail. But I'm not sure that I wouldn't trade in a lot of them if I would give Canadian artists the recognition they really deserve.
Right. You are now to assume the function of Chancellor of Hope University, to which you have been duly appointed and which you have accepted.
It was an emotional day, because this wasn't like winning a prize. I felt it was an expression of confidence in me as a human being, and an opportunity for me to carry on that standard of excellence I've always believed in. Perhaps I'm being challenged once more to live up to it. Life is taken for granted. Many of the few steps that the creative world movement has been the most instrumental in bringing about do something in essence to its creative need. The origin of the most plain and simple piano keyboard has not provided the keyboards for the whole world to control the untold amounts of new and truly instruments that are capable of generating and mutual signs that in turn serve to fertilize the creative mind, thereby completely new musical goals. It isn't just technology that's the answer. We must never forget the people are Canada's greatest resource.
I mean, that's just a fact to come out public with synthesizers. Because his reputation as being an acoustic piano is so new, it might be a little afraid of publicly exposing his interest, not just his interest in synthesizers, but actually playing them on his record.
Henry Hancock, better pray I haven't come up with my album, which I'm going to. Seriously, though, Honey has been begging me for years, saying, when hit with the album? I just haven't had the time. You know, going around, tricking around the world, playing concerts and doing recordings and trying to be Chancellor of York and teaching and this and that and the other. An electronic album takes a lot more time than an acoustical album in many cases. By the time you get all the sounds gathered together, you want to use and how you want to use them, and they get the recording properly, it takes a lot more time. I can turn out an album if I wanted to, acoustically, in one afternoon. That's no big deal. I've done it. Jokes on each other. We would test each other, we would suffer together. Perhaps we just wanted to prove we still have the magic, you know, that we still have that bond that I think made us the best trio I've ever heard. And by the way, we added Jeff Hamilton, the young drummer, as a little insurance. So we actually have a quartet. That generation of musicians seem to have a closeness. They all believe in the same kind of music, and they all have the same intensity and the love for it. And anytime you get people of that generation together, who play together, there's that camaraderie that you don't find in other musicians today.
I'm Thank you.
When I look back on that long journey and see how far we've come as a family, then I think I can say it's been worth it.
I don't know if it's worth it, you know. He's doing what he wants to do, and we're so proud of him. It's just incredible, but nobody is telling anybody else that. But as a child, it's really hard. I regret that.
It was pretty hard because usually the average kids had their parents home all the time to take them to hockey games or whatever, and I missed him quite a bit. He'd go on a 3-month tour, and you wouldn't see him for quite a long time, so it was pretty difficult.
He wasn't home for any of our birthdays at the time. Christmas is usually quite a mad house. He was usually just flying in maybe 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And we missed him. It was almost like being brought up with 5 single parents. And we missed a lot.
Maybe we had a child say, "Who knew you when I needed you, Dad?" That's pretty nice. They say something they don't mean. You say something they don't mean.
If you don't have a chance, when your parents start struggling and doesn't, to collect these things, they go. And you get the control of the total point. And it's very easy to return the point. Although, if you have family, then it's just good to break up the thing.
I don't feel ashamed. I felt intimidated. But I also felt a warmth that I had someone perceptive. But there were some question marks. Definitely. For the ride. One of my grandchildren, who was in another car, asked my mother if they could go and take a look. And grandfather had only seen me on television.
Thank you.
glasses and a toast to Daniel and Kathleen Peterson. Without whom we wouldn't be here today. Cheers, man. And Tom.
Cheers,
and I'm glad we're finally able to show Dad our appreciation for all of the things he has done to us.
Before we enjoy the meal, just like to ask Gloucester to bless the table.
Gracious Lord, we thank you for this food that we are about to receive. And most especially, we thank you for bringing our family together for this very, very important moment to all of us. Amen.
Show concerning the great Oscar Peterson. In the key of Oscar is the name of that particular segment. The legacy of jazz pianist and composer Oscar Peterson is chronicled in the reviving documentary spanning five decades of Peterson's unforgettable music, considered to have been one of the world's greatest jazz pianist. Peterson released more than 200 recordings and won 8 Grammys. God bless Oscar Peterson. This is Black History Month, and we tried to show the musicians that contributed so much to the field of jazz. Oscar Peterson and Earl Garner were highlighted, and the next person probably I will hopefully have an opportunity to let you hear a little bit about will be the great Art Tatum. There will be the top 3 jazz pianists ever. But before I do that, I'd like to talk about a dear friend who went home to meet his maker, and that is Sam Phillips. Sam, I met 10 years ago. And then we sat down and we talked. We found out that we passed each other like 2 ships passing in the night and never really got a chance to know each other. He knew some of the same people I knew and from Waterbury, Connecticut, that I grew up with. When I played in the Children's Symphonic Orchestra when I was 9 years old, playing the alto saxophone and also the tenor saxophone in that orchestra until you're 15 years of age. The pianist who got me involved with it and had me audition for it was Stanley Ralph, a great pianist, was born and raised in Waterbury, Connecticut. And then when Sam and I talked to find out that for many of the concerts that Sam had done, George had played for him. So it was one of the things that I go back to is George Ralph used to play tennis with, I'm talking about the grandfather, used to play tennis with my father in Waterbury at Fulton Park and also in the New England Tennis Association. And they were the founders of the tennis of the people in New England. So, you know, I started learning how to play tennis at a very early age, but so I had an opportunity to know Mr. Ralph and Stanley played at the church, which was Grace Baptist Church. And I remember when he brought something to me because he knew I played saxophone. I was real young at the time, and he said to me, "You need to go audition for this since I heard you play sax." He never heard me play sax. He didn't know what I could do with a saxophone. But took the opportunity to promote me and had, when I went down for the audition, people knew that I was coming. He let them know. He was only maybe 14 or 15 years old, and I was only 9, so, you know, it was a close age. But he was well known because he stopped playing piano when he was like 4 years old. My goodness gracious. Could play just about anything. But also directed the Pearl Street Neighborhood Choral Group. And I sang in that particular choral group. So I come to find out when Sam was living in New York, when he was born in Georgia, but moved to New York and spent most of his life in New York, I found out that Sam had sang at the Apollo Theater. And so had I. So he knew some of the same people who actually ran the Apollo Theater. He had met Duke Ellington and Count Basie, and so had I. In fact, I had a chance to sing with Count Basie. So finally, the good Lord made it possible for us to meet, and we met down here in South Carolina. My first church that I sang in was at First Baptist Church in South Carolina. And however, there were some political ideologies that I didn't agree with. And so I took the opportunity to start singing with Jack Warren, who was the director and minister of music at the church, United Methodist Mount Horde in Lexington. And Sam came later on, and we got to be very, very close friends, and all these things were unveiled to us, and we became very, very close. And he watched my back, and I watched his. because we're the only two Brighton singers, male or female, singing that large choir. And we had a great friend in our choir director who saw to us that we both were able to sing solos to enrich the church with our knowledge of music. I'm going to miss Sam, but I know that the good Lord has put him to work already. And I'm quite sure he's singing up there with Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and all of the great singers that have long gone that were founders of the jazz scene. And Sam could sing just about anything. He could sing, "Oh, Danny Boy, we make tears fall out your eyes." What a wonderful man, not only as a singer, but as a human being. We will truly miss you, Sam, and I will truly miss a good friend. But a good Lord has made it possible for us to at least know each other for the 10 years and to be very close in our ideas and in a way of approaching life. And I wish you the best in all of your doing from here on in with the good Lord, because I'm quite sure he will be in your corner and making sure that you sing the songs that he would love to hear you sing, because he gave you a talent matched by none. And I know we're going to be missing you, your wife, and I've talked, and she's going to miss you. But we will pray to the good Lord that he will comfort all of us who will. So, Sam, continue to do those things that you feel are appropriate, and because you've got a good heart. Now we're going to move on to the little bit of time that we have left. We're not going to be able to hear all of it. I'm talking about Art Tatum. The reason why I'm saying only Art Tatum is because the style of music that he played was very similar to the kind of music that Oscar later on played. Most of the musicians who came along after Art Tatum took a little bit of something from Art Tatum, because he was like the founding father of jazz on the piano. Let's give a listen.
Chicago at the Three Deuces, and I was working at a radio station, WJJB and WIND in Chicago. And a friend of mine came over to me, and at that time I was playing piano with Jackie Gleason. And I had my trio, and I was destined to be, in my mind, a piano player. And then the man came over to me and he says, "I hope you're sitting down because I got a record that I want you to hear." And as it was a humorous group, Sundance Blues, one of those members, and Art Tatum. And I heard Art Tatum for the first time and I was in shock. I could not believe what I heard. And I quit playing the piano right then and there. I went to the guitar. He lived on City Park in Toledo, on the miles in Toledo in 1932. I lived right across the street from him. And he was about maybe at that time about 17, well, maybe he was a little old, maybe he was about 20 years old, 18. And he used to send off, he used to buy all of Earl Hines' records, because Earl Hines was one of his favorite musicians. And when I first went there, well, I was a musical director for Frank Perry's Chicago Nightingales. I was about 22 then. We used to play at the Recreation Ballroom, and at the meeting night, we gave a colored dance. This Monday, we were playing this dance, and we had an admission, and I was getting ready to go out and get me a drink or something, and Frank says to me, he said, "Wait a minute, I want you to hear something." I said, "What do you want me to hear?" I was anxious to get out. He says, "I want you to hear a pianist." I said, "Oh, I've heard all the piano players. I heard Earl Hines, Frank Hines, I heard Fats, heard all these shows. I don't need to hear nobody play now." And as I was going out, they put this blind kid up on the stand, and he sat down, and was having, he used to go over and made a big arpeggio on the piano. And when it's tired of red on the piano, I switched to right around and went back up there to listen to him play. That was just fantastic. Says he was playing live at the Three Deuces in Chicago. And when I heard him at the Three Deuces, I said, "My God Almighty, what that man is doing." When we played his room, it would be a B flat, an A flat, and a G flat. And the next note would be a D. Now the thumb, wrist, across, played a D and a C. And then he was back to his B flat again. And he goes, and he's going down, and he's playing that one, and he plays flat on the piano. So he's not playing this way, he's playing down like this. So no matter how close you look at art, the hand looks almost motionless. So you just hear the minimum notes, and his hands aren't moving at all. They just went from here to there. The one thing you will know when they think you go up and hit that metal on the floor, boom. That you don't notice. Or if he loses his handkerchief and he's making it gigantic a room. Right? Those things.
father of Strad Piano was the most pianist judgment, James P. Johnson. And he was the one who made the leap from what had been Scott Joplin's ragtime into something entirely different. This became what has since been called stride piano. The left hand was lengthened. The stride physically was bigger. And often contained a counter melody in the bass notes to something else. For example,
James P. and others, David Lyon, certainly exemplified that song. They were the transitional players, and of course, then Fats Waller came along, and then Tatum. There was a real lot of Fats Waller stride and Tatum's stride. This is one of Fats Waller's compositions you might recognize. To it, it became less deliberate, less obvious, more flowing still, and began to take on dimensions in the right hand, which were something that hadn't been really much before. If he were to be playing that same eighth misbehaving, it would come out more like this. There's no place that my father clubbed at our table worked that my father would come in and he wouldn't ask my father to play, and vice versa. There's no place that my father would be working and see our table come in the club that he couldn't play. One time in the club, he said, when our Taylor came in the club, he said, God's in the house. So he had a whole lot of respect for him. Tiny Grimes, the guitar player, that played with my father and our Taylor, told me that they were the two greatest jazz piano players that ever lived. My father and our Taylor.
But you know, Mr. Thompson was just trying to play that. That piano player that played the entire orchestra. Because they've been playing in places like for, in bad, not bad, they've been playing in apartment houses. When you go by a house set in Chicago, it's really good. And you have a flood of rats come by our house, and you can buy some food and eat some nice meals and sit out and dine out and eat and drink and have a lovely time. And have drums on the car. So we had to play the whole thing. It wasn't like a clarinet or a saxophone or a bass. So you started, you played the whole thing.
Thank you.
watching it was about 4 or 5 years old at the time. And I couldn't relate exactly as to what he was doing. But then as I grew older, I understood what he was doing. Of course, he was much older now. And then I realized, because I would hear him playing, his friends would come and they'd be playing the piano. And then I realized that he was going to be a piano. The number of them was in 1,000 in North Carolina. The two lay in my hands. I finally played a little piano at a ragtime, but nothing major. It was all going to the house. We all had the roller and piano. It was in a small fashion sitting room to a blind handicapped school in Columbus, Ohio. And he developed this talent as he progressed year by year. They fostered it, and they saw he could do something. I mean, I met him somewhere. So he let him play the piano. Okay? The other teacher, Mr. Rooney, the other teacher, who helped him with his initial basics. But after that, it was him on his own. I started really working the clubs. He followed Teddy Wilson. Teddy Wilson was the house band in Bain for the band. And then Teddy left, and then I took over his position. To me, it was one of the most unusual cities at that time. There was no racial conflict. No, that has been concerned. That was unusual in Ohio at the time. He played there about 5 years, 35 years. Then he got this opportunity to have
Dr. Walter Dean. We'll probably try on Friday at 5 o'clock to from 5 to 6 to continue giving you some more information and try to finish off Art Tatum and move on to the great Dizzy Gillespie, who is from South Carolina. And hopefully all you sophisticados and jazz musicians out there will give a listen to one of the founders of bebop. So hopefully you had an opportunity to enjoy what was done and what was stated about Sam Phillips and the conclusion of Earl Garner, which was done the other day, and now Oscar Peterson. Have a good week, people. Bye-bye.